I want to touch on a hamshach what we were talking about yesterday, then to cover a few topics which we didn't really have time to talk about. We shouldn't walk away without not having touched them, so we'll do those. And then after Shir, there's a little bit of time for Seder, so you can chazer over some of the things that we talked about. So we left off yesterday with raising this point that the Derech HaChaim has his approach to possible Bekisnin, that really there's no machloikis. All of the sheetahs are true. Take the Mishnah Berurah, the main thing is take the Mishnah Berurah. Make sure you have Mishnah Berurah, the main thing. That the Derech HaChaim has his approach to possible Bekisnin, that the main idea is, we saw from Beis Yosef, based on Rashi, that the idea of Tepasu Kisim was that Chazal did not give the bracha of Hamoitzi and the lacha of benching to items which the derech was to eat them in not a kviyus. So Chazal were not machayev in that situation. The bracha of the din of bread, because it's not used like bread. If you use it like bread by putting it back to using it, so therefore it gets a din of bread again, and therefore you say hamoitzi and you bench. He says, so that was the reason why Chazal did this. But once they did that, they basically gave the Einei Hamorei, a person can come along and, you know, estimate that if the reality is in situation X, that this has become a type of food like that, so that'll have the same halacha. We pointed out that from the Beis Yosef itself, and from the Rishonim Argon and Rashi, etc., that would seem to indicate that they do not hold like this swara. We mentioned the Shulchan Aruch Harav that he says, okay, so how in the world do we not bench? The answer is because you really beat a raisa. He says the sheet of the Magen Avraham, which is not like Tosis and Brachas, the sheet of the Magen Avraham, that your yoitza benching with one bracha in the raisa. As long as you mention all of the items that you mentioned in benching, the three items that mean a raisa you have to mention in benching are the for the mazon, for the oritz, and for the mikdash. If all three are mentioned, so your yotze, so mean a raisa, a person will be yotze his chiyuv to bench with a bracha of achas main gimel. Mirabonu, you have to say three separate brachas. And they didn't do that by something which is not pas. So that was what we said from the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So now comes up an interesting question. So the Mechaber in Sif Ches discusses if a person eats Pasul Bekistin during the meal as a dessert. So that you have to make a bracha on it. So in Sif Ches, on page of the Mishnah Berurah, page Kuf Mem Hei, the second line from the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. In the top, a person eats it during the meal not for the purpose of satiation, but in order to as dessert. So he needs a bracha beforehand, but no bracha afterwards. It's not part of the meal. So I just want to clarify this concept for a second. A person eats, says hamoitzi, and they eat other foods during the meal. So How does hamoitzi work that it covers all of the food that you eat during the meal? How does it work? So there's a concept in the halacha called ikar and tofel. See, ikar and tofel means that we find that Chazal recognize that sometimes you eat items as a unit, and one is the primary item, one is the secondary item, and the bracha goes to the primary item. So it's not pshat that you're not making a bracha on the secondary item. A person has cereal and milk, and he makes a mazonis. So if you have a riddle question, when do you make a mazonis on milk? The answer is when you eat it with cereal. The bracha of the mazonis goes on the milk as well. Therefore, let's say you finish your cereal and you have milk left over, so you drink the milk. I didn't make a bracha on the milk. Yes, you did. You made a mazonis on the milk. The bracha of mazonis goes, or the whatever bracha you made on the cereal goes on the milk as well. The discussion which you have over there in that situation, if a person has intent to use it independently, not as part of the, you, I want to drink the milk besides. So do I argue in that situation, I didn't make the milk as a tuffle to the cereal, I wanted to have a drink of milk. Okay, it's a different question. But what, as long as they use it as a tuffle, the bracha of the ikar goes to the tuffle. Normally that means that you must eat them together. So, or that you must eat them in general, at least the main way you eat them is together. So let's say I take the milk out first. I haven't made a bracha on the cereal yet. Of course I have to make a bracha on the milk. I didn't have any cereal yet. I didn't make a bracha yet. Let's say I start eating the nature of the item. Let's say it's very large pieces. So I have a fruit cocktail. So instead of having a small, you know, little pieces, I have a very large. And there's some big pieces of banana, pieces of apple or peach, whatever it is. And the nature is to eat each one separately. So there, the chayotim holds, there's no dinner of ikurim tofel. Each one, as you eat it, it's an bracha. Mezonos is it's part of a meal. So mezonos, the nature is mezonos. When you eat it with other items, mezonos is always considered primary. It can't become secondary unless it's there just to hold other things together. Bread, because it's so important, the way we look at the other foods in the meal is that they're considered secondary to the bread. They're tofel to the bread. So the bracha moitzi includes everything, even if you don't eat it together. That's how chashav bread is. Even when you're not eating it together, I make a moitzi, and then I eat meat. No, the meat is tofel to the bread. So the bracha moitzi includes the meat as well. But that's only things which the nature is that you eat them together with them. They come. The normal thing is to eat them as part of the meal. So, yes, it's very normal to eat meat with bread. So, therefore, I consider the meat secondary to the bread. Person has dessert. Person has an apple in the middle. Most people don't have all. You know, I had an apple sandwich today. I don't have an apple sandwich. I don't eat apples together with bread. I might have bread. I might have an apple, but the apple is clearly independent of that. So it's not tofel to the bread. It requires its own bracha.
It's something that nobody eats tofel with bread.
So even if you don't eat it, it's something which comes to satiate, it's considered, since the bread is the meal, and things are coming to satiate, they're considered part of the meal. That's why you don't eat normally farina or oatmeal with your bread either. But you'd have oatmeal during your meal, you wouldn't make a bracha. Because it's considered secondary to the bread, because the bread is the meal, and these are all part of the meal. But sometimes I'm not eating the purpose of satiation. I mean, as a dessert, I enjoy the flavor of it, etc. So it needs its own bracha. So that includes mezonos. So a person eats mezonos at the end of the meal. You have to make a bracha mezonos before you eat it.
Why does Rav Jacobson and Muslim have
Okay, so that's a fair question. Since Birchas HaMazon is for Mazon, in fact, anything which ends up being, has the ability to sustain, so it includes all the foods that you ate, even the apple, whatever it is. So all those things would be included in the benching as well. So now, comes along the so you make a bracha achrona. Yeah.
Is there like a chumdina on people's fast that like they won't eat apples as part of the meal? Like what if it's part of your lunch?
So theoretically, there are cases where you have such a thing. Let's say that the poskim talk about like you make a fruit soup. So fruit soup can be eaten as for refreshing element, or can be eaten as a meal. You can make a meal out of it. My meal is, cherries, and I have a lot of cherries as a meal. So the poskim say in that situation, it's because its nature is not normally like that. What you do is you eat the first bite and the last bite with bread, and melem comes tuffle to the bread. And then it would not, in that situation, if you're eating it for mazon, because you want to use it to make a meal out of it, if you eat the first bite and the last bite with bread, then you would not make a bracha. Correct. But since its nature is it's not automatically like that, you have to eat it with bread. Not the whole thing, but the first and last bite.
Can you do that for any food, or only if it's
if you're not eating it for satiation persons, if you eat it with bread, it goes back to the regular dinner ikur and tofel. So we eat each bite with bread. Right, but that's why sometimes the halacha is each bite with bread, sometimes the halacha is just the first and last. The difference is, if you're eating it for the purpose of satiating yourself, so then it's the first and last. If you're eating it just because you're not sure why you're eating it, so then each bite has to be with bread. Okay, so now, so you have to make a bracha on the mezonos. So, but let's go back to our discussion. So according to the way we were pointing out yesterday, so there's three opinions, and each one says the other one is wrong. So if it's wrong, what is this? This is pas. So Tosfos says, well, a piece of a honey cake is bread. So I can't make a bracha mezonos at the end of the meal. I already said a moitzi. This is bread. This is mamish bread. So I don't have to make a bracha on it. I said a moitzi lechem and art. This is lechem. According to Tosfos, the correct bracha on this is a moitzi. So I can't make a bracha on my cake at the end of the meal, because according to Tosfos, I already said hamoitzi, and this is hamoitzi. Let's say I have something which has a kiss to it. So according to Menachem Nadal, I have to make a mezonos, right? According to Tosfos, I have to make a mezonos. According to Rashi, as far as we understand Rashi, what do you mean? That's bread. I said hamotzi already. So I end up with this problem. I can't make a bracha on my pasuk v'kistin. The Bir Halacha says this is Rikregos Ora, unless it meets all three criteria. It meets all three criteria. According to all Rishonim, this is not bread, this is mezonos. So therefore it needs a bracha at the end of the meal. So what would an example of that be? So that would be like an apple pie. An apple pie, the dough is flaky, so it meets the criteria of the Ben Ohai. It's a flaky dough. It's a crumbly, flaky, hard type of a dough. Number one. Number two, the dough is very flavored. There's a lot of oil and sugar and different things in the dough itself. So you meet Rashi and the Rambam. And it has a filling. It meets the shita of the Rebbeinu Chananel and Tosis. So that, according to that situation, if a person would eat an apple pie, so that you would definitely, then you would make a mezonos at the end of the meal. But if you eat other things, so any other thing which doesn't meet all three criteria, may suffer. You can't make a bracha, because some of bracha is lahakol. And it could be it's bread already. You already said a moitzi. That's the order that the shulchan. That now again, you see, not in the Kodesh Derech Chaim, this is not true. Kodesh Derech Chaim, it's always mazonos. They're all mazonos. Nobody argues. So again, you see from Kemegar is not assuming like the Derech Chaim. You're assuming each shita. See, so the Bir Halacha brings that the Maamar Mordechai raised this question. And said maybe they don't argue. Maybe Kemegar Sora, he answers Kemegar Sora, saying maybe they don't really argue. But what the difference in the Maamar Mordechai, the Bir Halacha over here in Sif Ches, and he brings the Maamar Mordechai at the end. But the Mordechai says maybe they don't really argue with each other, so maybe that's not such a shirakash. Now, if you look at the Mordechai, is not the Derech Chaim. Mordechai says, Derech Chaim says we have three examples, and there's examples, and you come up with a fourth possible type of thing. Same thing. Mordechai says no. There's only three. There's three that the Gemara says you can't make up a fourth. But within the three, the Rishonim don't argue. Now that's still sure, because Tosfos argues in Rashi, right? So Tosfos calls it Lechem Gomer. You make a Moitzi. So that you have to work out of the Rambam Mordechai. But the Rambam Mordechai says, comes along the Taz, and the Taz says, even Tosfos argues in Rashi, it's difficult to understand what he's saying. But the Taz says, even Tosfos argues in Rashi, he's masking that there's a large amount of if the eker of the dough is really the tavlin and flavoring, etc. So then even Tosfos would agree that bracha is mezonos. Would agree to Rashi. Now Tosfos Rashi says the case with tavlin harbe. So the Tosfos have to learn Rashi says tavlin harbe, it means a lot, but not that it came to the point that it's ikar. If you get to the point where if you measure your dough and there's much more of other ingredients than there is of flour, Tosfos says, okay, that point in time, I'm in. That's mezonos. So in that situation, the Ikir Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch presents it, is that the Ikir Pesach is like Tosfos. But if Tosfos agrees to this case, so you can make a mezonos in that situation. So a person would have a very, very sweet cake at the end of the meal, a honey cake. So you make a mezonos according to this. So the Mishnah Berurah comes out, misafik, really you shouldn't, because it's not so clear what to do about it. But he says if you eat things which have a kiss, since Rav Paiskim, that's the Ikir Pesach. The Ikir Pesach definition of possible kissing is that there's a kiss. So if it has peiros in it, so the brach will be mezonos. So a person will make a brach at the end of the meal on that. Mevorach lehifsin. I do want to point out one more thing, that when the Paiskim bring down this case of pie, so they say but there's two types of pies. You can make what's called an open-faced pie. You can have a pie which has a double layer. So the double layer, it's a kiss. It has a top and it has a bottom. And inside, there is whatever's inside. But if they require that, it means they wouldn't hold pizza as possible to kiss them. Because there's no top and bottom layer. So one of the person would say pizza is possible to kiss them. Because what's the difference if it's a filling or it's a top? Is it a filling or an icing? What's the difference? The main thing is that this filling slash icing changes how the nature of the food. But the Paiskim would discuss, Rav Shaiman talks about pie, it's only if it has a top and it has a bottom. I see that he's assuming that the requirement of a kiss is a requirement halakha l'maaseh. You must have a kiss. So pizza's out of the question. Right? It's not a flaky dough. It's not a significantly flavored dough. And there's no kiss. So what's a maaseh? Well, then end the conversation. Right? There's nothing to talk about. A calzone, which has cheese inside, that would meet your criteria. A chicken pot pie, right, the person has to make a meal, chicken pot pie. Right? So there you would have your criteria. It has a top, it has a bottom, but the filling is meat. You have a shepherd's pie. You have a filling which inside is meat. So those are all that question. You know, it comes the most, and the Shulchan Aruch passes, you make a mitzvah in those situations. Okay, so that's one point over here, which the real Lacha raises this question. So again, he's going back to this issue, do they agree with each other? And the Nafkamina is the Gabi making them a Zaynus at the end of the meal. Now, even if you make them a Zaynus at the end of the meal, you don't say... bracha krona, it's included in the bracha krona, included in the benching. Okay, that's one point. Now, if you had a shir kviya suda, so the lacha is so you have to bench. So what's called a shir kviya suda? How much is called shir kviya suda? So we pointed out, we learned the Gemara. The Gemara compares it to the case of Erev. Now, how much do you need to make for an Erev? The Erev is, an Erev has to be mazon shtei sudas, has to be the food you need for two meals, which is the machlokes in the Gemara, and the machlokes Rambam and Rashi, how we paska, whether it's, Rambam holds it's 6 bayim, and the Rashi holds it's 8 bayim, which means that one meal is either 3, according to Rambam it's 3 bayim, according to Rashi it's 4 bayim. So a meal is 4 kebayim. A person that eats 4 kebayim's worth of hachla makistin, according to this shear, you have to wash, sell it to Sadaim and bench, and Samoitzi and bench. Right? So, how much is that? In practical terms. So, my Rebbe gave me a rule of thumb to measure the size of a kebaya. So, those of you who are familiar with a bakery loaf of rye bread, 2-pound loaf of rye bread from the bakery. You picture that. Take a slice out of the middle of the loaf. That's a kebaya. That's a kebaya. So four of the cake with the volume of that amount, it's based on volume, not on weight, it's based on volume of that amount, is 4 kebayim. That's not a lot of cake. I mean, so that's a share of a kebayim. That's 4 kebayim.
What size slices is that?
If you've ever seen a bakery loaf of rye, you've ever seen the 2-pound roll. That's a regular size rye, is 2 pounds. Take a slice in the middle. It's a little bigger. One ends are small. One in the middle is big. Right. That one slice is a kebaya.
Maybe it's the shears including all the chocolate and sugar and the cake.
That's a hard question. The Mishabura comes out that theoretically it shouldn't include it, but the Minhag HaOlam is to say that it includes it. He's talking about the Gabi, then Bracha Chorno. You have to say Bracha Chorno Kazayas. We include all the items as well, even though theoretically there isn't a Kazayas worth of flour in there.
So how many pieces of cake?
Well, it depends how big your cake is. But, now, in regards to air spaces in the cake, so small, just like in a loaf of bread, there's a little small air spaces. That is included in your volume. If there's a large hole, sometimes you get like a big hole, that's not included. But the regular small air spaces that you have, the way the thing normally puffs up, that's included. Now, theoretically, if you really want to have, you could crush your cake and have more cake, right? So the mushal is in Stilgeya. The luck is before you do a mitzvah before you daven, you can't not allowed to eat because you haven't davened yet, etc. But after you've davened, I didn't do a mitzvah yet, you're not allowed to eat anything which approximates the beginning of a meal. So I want to have a little bit of a piece of meat or an apple. I can have mazonos also up to the share of a kebaya. I can't have more than a kebaya. Kebaya of oil is already considered the beginning of a meal. But up to a kebaya I can have. So Rosh Hashanah morning, before Tkiyah Shofar, we point out that a person should not eat more than a kebaya worth of cake. If you crush your cake, you can have more cake. I'm not saying you should do that, but... Right. So I had a chaver who was makban on the halacha of only saying bracha chroina if he has a kezias worth of flour, but he was worried about eating kebaya Rosh Hashanah morning. So al sechumra, he used to smash his cake down to have more cake. This way he can for sure be yotze saying bracha chroina. If your goal of Rosh Hashanah morning is to have more cake, but it's not the most Rosh Hashanah is a type of a thing. If your goal is to make sure you can say bracha chroina properly, that maybe that's a valid thing to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's. So that's the shear of four kebaya. Now, comes on the Shulchan Aruch Rav. This is what the Mogen Rambam says. The shear is the shear of four kebaya. The many Achrayim come along and say that that's the Mogen Rambam itself comes along and says in that the Gra others Mishmar points out in Sifkat and Chavdalid that they hold that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like the Moras Lashon was what people would use to make a meal. And apparently, even in the time of the Gemara, the average meal was more than four kebaya. What the more met than Erevin is that an Ani who could not afford more would make a meal out of three kebeya, four kebeya. The more lashon over there is kulam. They're being makel, and we're finding the smallest meal which we can find. And that's enough for the chiyuv of Erev. For Erev, we were mechayev to use the smallest meal possible. So an Ani who couldn't afford more would make a meal out of three kebeya or four kebeya. But the average meal was much more than that. So comes Shulchan Aruch Rav and brings that, you know, we should argue that, well, we know that the Torah gives us an example of the definition of a meal. Right? In the Midbar, everybody got one armor's worth of mon, and they split it to two meals. One meal in the morning, one meal in the evening. So how large was an armor? An armor is a shir chala, which is 43.2 bayim. So half of that is 21.6 bayim. Right, so a meal would be 21. You take 21 of those slices of rye bread, and that's a meal. That's your morning meal, and that's your evening meal. So it says that would be the shear. Right, so the Aruch HaShulchan says that's probably not how we eat our meals nowadays. We're totally what people do normally, and that would not be. That's too large. Most people don't eat 21 slices of bread of that. You know, the large slices of rye bread for a meal. But that's the shear. That was the shear of Ammon, by the way. Klai Yisrael, the Midbar, Baruch Hashem, they were growing young men and women and babies. Everybody got an armor worth, and they were not allowed to leave over. Remember that, right? So this is it. You got to finish this in one day, right? So they ate 43 slices of bread per day. Okay. So what's the shear? So the shear is, so Moshe and his Tshuva basis that the shear is in the country where you are, how much bread that people normally eat. Comes along the Magen Rambam, says like this. But let's say you live in a country, you eat in a place where they don't make a meal out of bread. Like my mother-in-law, Shalom, you know, they didn't have anything. They had potatoes and bread. That's all they could afford. And she pointed out to us that they did not have chicken, did not have meat the whole year. They couldn't afford it. Fish in the summer because the river was there, they had fish. And Pesach time, they had a calf, they had a cow, so they had a calf every year. They would shech the calf if the calf was kosher, wasn't a trefa, so they had meat for Pesach. Otherwise, they didn't touch, the meal was bread and potatoes. That was the meal. Okay, so that's all you're eating, so that was a meal. But we, Baruch Hashem, we eat many other things. So what would the shear be? The shear would be, the Remersha says, based on what the Magen Rambam is saying, the shear would be in that this country what people normally, the amount of bread people normally eat to make a meal. So the average person, because we have other foods also, we eat maybe two. If you do wash, you eat two slices of bread, three slices of bread, four slices of bread, right? And that's it. So that's your meal. That's now the shear of a suda. So if a person eats that amount of cake together with other items, a person has tunas and crackers. You know, so a person takes biskvitim, you know, that's just like, you know, so you eat just biskvitim, you know, you eat crackers, whatever it is, but I'm hungry, so I had a lot, you know, there's a whole sleeve of crackers, and I eat it, and I have my tuna crackers. It's not, I can argue it's not a large amount of kebeya, but maybe it's four kebeya, but definitely the amount you would eat for a meal. You wouldn't eat more bread than that. So in that situation, so if you get to the point where a person would eat four kebeyas worth, so, and he would be satiated, so you have a shiloh at the rice level, you're satiated, and you ate something which would be normal to make a meal out of, so Mershon says, you know, that you'd have to bench in that situation. So that would be the shear that a person has to bench. Then the Magen Rambam comes along and says, you know what? If that's normal to make a meal out of it, even if you, with other, because you have other food, even if you don't have the other food, but this is the amount of bread you eat for a meal. So even if you don't eat it without the other food, you'd have to bench. Okay? So since we work, we have a lot of other food, the amount of bread we eat in a meal is two slices, three slices. That's called a meal. If I eat that amount of cake without anything else, I'm chayav to bench. It says, That's a chumrah of the Magen Avraham. In that situation, you only be chashish for that Magen Avraham if you are satiated by that.
You do need to be
chashish? If you are satiated. If you add the fact that you're satiated, but if you're not satiated, you would not be, you would say an alamichya.
Maisha says this?
Yeah. Say, but if you are satiated, you combine the fact that you've eaten the shear, which is called it to be a suda in our country, and you are satiated, so we're dealing already with the chi of the rice to bench, you should bench. But if you're not satiated by that amount of cake, it would be better, Mishnah Berurah says, don't get involved in that amount. Stay away from that amount, preferably. But if you do, so you would say an alamichya.
That means if somebody eats a whole bag of pretzels and still is not satiated, you would still acknowledge it?
I don't know how big of a bag of pretzels you're thinking of. You're thinking
of
like,
the jungle.
No. No, if you eat a shear, which is like, Bamish, everybody agrees that that's a full shear suda, you'd bench. Right? But see, this chumrah that we're saying, the Magen Avraham says, if you eat it without anything else, you bench. Okay, I'm saying three shear. Shear number one is, the Magen Avraham says three or four kebay. Okay? Gruah and others argue, no. Don't worry about three or four kebayim. That's not what we have. Well, people make a meal, they eat six or five, six, seven, eight kebayim's worth of bread. Aleph. So if you eat, Mishnah Berurah says, stay away from three or four. It's better to stay away from three or four because you have the subcut mug and a rum, etc. Comes along the mug and rum and says, okay, but if you eat that amount of bread, which you normally eat with a meal when you have other foods, and now you eat it with other foods and you're satiated, you have to bench. Okay, now if you take the food, other food away, you still have to bench. Because this is the amount of bread you make for a meal. Okay? Now, how much is that? So, Moshe says, that shear isn't three or four kebayim. That shear is whatever is normal to use in our country. And now I have the chum, the mug, and the rum of that amount, you know, which in America is not so big. Even without the other food, I have to bench. He says, okay, that chum, I'm only mechir the chashir if I'm satiated. But if I have what five or six kebayas worth, which would be a meal, according to everybody, so I have to bench, whether I'm satiated or not.
What's called sbiya? Like, if you're like, okay, I mean, I guess I'm all right, but like, I could also eat more, but like, in a couple hours, I'll be hungry again.
Like, you heard me say over my yeshiva many times, right? In Europe, they used to ask you, are you still hungry? In America, they ask you, are you full? You don't have to be full. You mean, I'm not hungry anymore. That's called satiation. I'm not hungry anymore. I'm not hungry at all. I'll eat again. You know, I'm a bocher. I can eat again in a few hours. I'm not a bocher anymore, but if I be bocher, I can eat again in a few hours. But, but you get the point where you're not hungry anymore. That's called svia, yeah.
Could you wash, like,
you should wash. Yeah. Now, let's say that the Mishnah Berurah deals with in the Sharasin, you start the meal with no intention to eat that amount. And the Maaseh, you finish off with that amount. I started off eating my cake, and I had no intention to eat so much cake, but it was a very good cake. You know, I take a piece of kokosh cake, right? I take one, I take two, I take three, I take four. Hey, wow, I have four pieces of kokosh cake. You know, right? Next thing you know, so if you get to a shear, that be that this is the shear of Kriyas Suda, you'd have to bench, even though you did not wash, you did not say a moitzi. So your bracha rishona was you didn't wash and you said a mezonos, but you'll bench. Let's say in the middle of the meal you decide, you know what? I didn't realize how hungry I was, and there's a good cake over here. I want to eat it. So you'd stop, and you'd wash, and you'd bench. Now, what do you do about regards to bracha rishona? So Mishnah Berurah is like this: if from this point onward you're going to eat an amount of a meal, so you'd have to wash and say a moitzi. If you're not planning to eat the amount of a meal, you have to wash your hands. You don't say a bracha. That's what Mishnah Berurah brings on top. Kabbalah Sharatina says, I don't understand my din. Okay, you follow what I'm saying so far? Right? So let's do numbers. Let's say, you know, for argument's sake, a shear will take kokosh cake because it's familiar to the guys, a piece of kokosh cake in the middle, you know, of the kokosh, not the sides, right? Let's say, for argument's sake, the four slices of that is five, six kebayim. That's about how much people would have for a meal. So I had one slice, two slices. You know, I'm going to have two more, right? So I have a total of four, which would be already our shear, right? Let's say, so if that's the situation, right, I originally planned on one or two, but then I eat four, I have to bench. After two, I said, you know what, I'm going to have two more. I should stop and wash. I don't think I brought a rishona, and I bench at the end. I have two, and I said, you know what, I'm going to have another five, six pieces. So you'd stop, you'd wash, you'd say hamoitzi, and then you would continue on. That's where the Mishnah Berurah comes up. Comes the Sharasina, says, I don't understand. There's a halacha of nimlach. Nimlach means if you change your mind, you have to make, if I start eating, and I only plan to eat one, and I really decide, if I start eating apples, and I have a whole bowl of apples in front of me, I make a bracha on the apple, I only plan to eat one, I have a second one, I don't need to make another bracha, because it's right in front of me, and it's possible. Let's say I have a dietary issue, and I'm supposed to eat more than one. So I clearly had in mind only to eat one. Then I said, you know what? Who cares about the diet? I'm having another one. So you need to make a rapier eights on that second apple. Because you clearly had no intent to do that, even though it's in front of you. He says, so the Sharatzian says, listen, you made a mezoidus on this. Why do you make a mezoidus on this? What are you saying? Means you planned only to have a limited amount you're going to eat. That's hurrah, you made a mezoidus, you didn't wash. So over here you have a clearer chacha from how you made the racham sure that you plan not to have more. So even though there's this whole cake in front of you, but I clearly did not want to do that. Otherwise I would have washed instead of moitzi. And now after two pieces of cake, I say, you know what? Let's have some more. So he says the chur in that situation. It's in Sharatina Chav Aleph. The chur ben yunena halo bevare af lo chishiv shalalechol yoyser kechishiv domi. So lo you do a if you eat a shir, you have to and wash his hands. But who came in shabirik rach bremenim azonis? So Mishabura holds you have a din of a nimlach. So you can't continue your bracha rishon. It doesn't work. It's like I limited my bracha rishon. I'm only eating two pieces, and my bracha is only for these two pieces, and that's it. So I want to have more. I didn't make a bracha rishon. I can't go vital without a bracha rishon. So Mishabura says in that situation, now, so what do you do? So let's go through the scenarios. So we're using four slices as a shir suda. So I had to, and I decided I'm going to have four more. So I stop, I wash, I say, I'm going to see that social island. I have two, and I said, I'm going to have two more. So I have to bench because I'm going to have four total at the end. Right? But what bracha mishenu do I say? Do I say, I'm going to see the same as earnest? I'm only eating two slices. From here on, I'm only eating two slices. So Mishabur doesn't say what bracha mishenu does say. Mishabur doesn't say what he says. He says, you make him a Zernus. He brings him the master of the shekel, you make him a Zernus. The shekel says, why a Zernus? You're eating the last two slices as a meal. You're eating two more slices, which alone is not enough to say Hamoitzi. But the final result will be that I ate four slices. So Shabur says, you still make him a Zernus. Right? He doesn't explain why. He doesn't explain why the bracha would be a mezonos in that situation. Why would the bracha be a moitzi in the situation? But that's halacha. Is that situation, Mishabur comes out, that you're a nimlach. By definition, you're a nimlach. Because you didn't wash your hands. You didn't say hamoitzi in the beginning. So I eat two slices and I decide to have two more. If I just happen to eat, I'm not thinking about it. I didn't think. But really, I shouldn't go weiter because I have a bracha rishonah shiloh. By definition, I have a bracha rishonah shiloh. Because you knew you're not planning to have more. By definition. So Lekar, you would have to stop and make a new bracha rishonah, which he says, if you're planning to eat from this point onwards less than a shir suda by itself, only two slices, you'd make a mezonos. You plan to have four, you'd wash, say al tisadayim, say amoitzi, and go weiter. And then either way, you'd bench at the end. That's it.
You offer only two more.
He says that situation. Lekar, you should wash. You don't make a bracha.
That
a bracha.
You didn't know that nothing. You started. You said I'm a Zionist, and someone said, "Oh, if you're eating this amount, you should like I'm waiting." So that wouldn't be enough.
No. They would not be nimlach, right? Right. We're talking about a person who's aware of the halacha, right? So sometimes ignorance is an advantage.
The nimlach is the fourth slice, right? Because that fourth slice make it a suda. They just say stop in the fifth slice, and you're about to. Why should make
mezonos
in the first
one? No, but if this point onwards, I know I'm planning to have at least two slices, so that's a whole new meal.
But the first mezonos apply for the until
it's an interesting question. I hear what you're saying. I hear that. That's a good. It's an interesting sort. I think the point is you're starting over again. You're starting like a new meal because whatever I planned to limit it at some point. Now I'm planning to go right there. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I like the question. I'm not sure. That's be my assumption that still you would stop at that point in time. Okay, so that's this. Regards to now, go to page Kuf Nun Aleph, please. So, what do we do in regards to this issue of a mealy, which is a savory mealy? It's not a sweet mealy. So, the filling is meat, cheese, fish, etc. So that's the mechabers and sifyud zayin up on the top. Pastida. So, pastida was like a knish type of a thing. With a meat filling, hanefa b'saner b'boser b'dogim b'gvino, and you bake it with a filling of meat, fish, or cheese. Mubarak Allah, Hamoitzi Ubirchas Amosin. Okay? So you make Hamoitzi, the Shulchan Aruch says. And that's this way I told you the Taz disagrees. Take a look at Mishnah Berurah of Katan Saridal. Mubarak Allah, Hamoitzi, Hainu Afila, but Eloi Kavala. Even though you were not convey a Suda, it's a Hamoitzi. I'm only having one piece, but it's bread. It's a packet with something inside. It's a chicken pot pie. It's a packet. Well, don't mean the pass of Babakistan. The Perusha pass of Ulubit, the Paris of a Tavlin. The Kimavur of the Sivsai. The Lomavar Kalayo Hamoitzi, Middle Kova Sudolayo. Over there, you don't make a Moitzi unless you have a large amount. The Shani Hosam, the Eina Suyim El Liknuach Suda Ulumasika. The main reason why you make those type of things is to use it for kinoach suda, for a dessert, for something sweet at the end. Mashenge bepastida shemamula bebaser derech laachlam leraava, and the derech is to eat it for a meal. Clearly, spray in order to fill yourself. So basically, it's like eating bread with meat. So any amount of bread, you have to make a moitzi, and you have to wash and make a moitzi. Even though it's only kazayas. Then the Mishnah Berurah sees passing not like the Taz. The Taz says, what's the filling? It's always the mezuzah. He says, no, that's not true. But the Mishnah Berurah adds the following. What's the lomdus? Because this is different than pasul b'kistin. The nature of this is pasul b'kistin, the nature is you use it for a sweets, not as a meal. And this you use it as a meal. So what about if you make a filling, which is a meat filling, but the way you use it is a snack? What would the halacha be in that situation? Not you. I mean, the way people use this as a snack. She says, "When you're poshut, the masuyin rikik and katanin, they make it small pieces. Umurabim and pesis and shabasser with meat in it. When nikur shen asuyim kim lekinuach harchavasuda." But it's clear that people use it not as a meal, but as a as some type of a dessert. Then it'll go back to the rule that's pasul b'kistin. So franks and blanks, which people don't usually make a meal out of, they eat it as a cocktail for a few, as a snack. So those will be mazonos. If you have enough, you have to wash. It's pasul b'kistin. But something which the nature is to use it as a meal is at the Mishnah Berurah. Even if you don't use it as a meal, you use it as a snack. I don't care. You have to make a moitzi. Because that's the rule of the Shulchan Aruch. That things which, the way they're normally used, is a meal function, and you bake it in that way so that it's bread. If you bake it in a way, from the way you bake it, it's nicker, that it's a different type of an item. So I have so going back to pizza. So we saw from our chart that pizza is used in America as a meal. Right? So according to Mishnah Berurah, anything which is normally used as a meal, and you bake it the way you use it for a meal, no matter how much you eat, you have to make a moitzi. Because it's a bread. If you bake little pizza things, pizza lach, which you use like as a snack at a cocktail party, okay, so those would be mezuzahs. Because it's nicker from the way it's made that it's not a meal. It's not a meal item. It's a snack item. But if the way you make it is the way which you normally make for meal purposes, even though you eat a minimal amount, I don't care how much you eat. This is bread.
Rabbi, how do you define the rule? In Yeshiva's friends and blanks,
no, but if the nature of how they're normally made, so then you need a kriya suda. So you have a large amount, so that's a kriya suda, so you'd have to wash out to that. If you don't, not. But if the way it's made, the average way it's used in this country is a snack. Right, it would be a country, basically. Now, I do want to point out, speaking about that, the Bir Lacha back in Sif Vav, when he talks about the Shira Kriya Suda, so I mentioned to you, the Rosh points out the Machlokes in the Raavad and the Rambam. The Rambam says it's totally each person. If I make a meal out of it, I have to wash. Rambam says, no, it's totally how people in general use it. That's the Bir Lacha in the Bir Lacha. However, in Sif Vav, back to the first page, he points out that he wants to say the following. It's Mamash, the Bir Lacha starts over there. Pishkaveh of the day, Hudasa Rosh, Kalakal Raavad, etc. When we call the last word in that Bir Lacha on page Kufim Gimel, when we call Malkim, next page, near Boradim, Huzakin or Nar, Shekilosan Muet Beteva, Chiyama Bamotzi Birchas Amozin, Machuk Shir Shadark and Tommy Likwe Alze, Kim the Kobane Minom, Mistapkin, Bashir Achila Kazu. We do look at different units. I don't measure an 85-year-old man by the amount that an 18-year-old boy eats. Yes, for 18-year-old men, the amount that they eat to make a meal is more than what a person who's 80 years old will use. It's more than a 5-year-old kid will use. So I don't look at each individual person, but I do look at units, the Bir Halacha says. So if for this group of people, this is called a meal, it's called a meal, he has to wash. For if that person, be part of that group, it's a person who's a zokein. If that for people of that age, of that age group, or that, you know, this is called a meal, so you have to wash and say a moitzi. If somebody comes along who's, you know, 20 years old and says, that's not a meal, that's like, you know, that's like just getting me started, right? For me, a meal is three times that. Okay, so then if people of his age, that's the meal for them, for him it's a snack. So we do look at men and women differently, because men and women are different in how they eat. And you look at age groups within the range. I'm saying, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, 18 versus 19, you know, I'm not saying, but you know, there is normal human beings, there's teenage young men, right? And then there's elderly people, and there's little kids. Like, I think there's like four groups, you know. And listen, it's the reality of life, you know.
Somebody is an exception to their age group.
Doesn't make a difference. So then he's part of that group. So he would, then you look at his group, what's called, that's the Mishaburz Psak. We look at the universal usage as opposed to you individually.
So if an 80-year-old man had metabolism of like a...
Right, so he would hit his sheer achila would be like 80-year-olds, right? Okay, so that's this sugya. Now, I just want to just at least give an introduction to the other sugyas because we didn't touch on them. You know, we didn't have enough time to touch on them. So this is like Passover Kisten, and it's very in the correct denotation of the word. But I pointed out that we use it colloquially. We use it to include all these things which the shaila is goes from. Alamichya, Mazonos, or is it Hamoitzi and Benching? There are many other things besides possible Kistan. So he had all of the cases of the Lachmonius in Sifches, depending how it's made. The Mishaburz comes out basically, if you look over there, that there's that. Let's say you start with something which is not a dough, but it's a batter. A cake, right? Cake can be made of yeast cake. A kokosh cake is a yeast cake. It starts out as a dough, and it looks like bread, looks like a bread dough. But many cakes are made with a batter. Batter means it pours. You don't make bread like that. Even pizza, you don't make pizza like that. It's thin. But there are some wraps that you make like that. So are they hamotzi or are they mazernas? So if you take a dough, you set it as a dough, so that's more derma to bread. And even though you roll it down and you make it thin, etc., brachas al hamotzi. If you set something which is a batter, it's thin to start with. So you take a cake and you pour it into a big container and you bake it. End of the day, it looks pretty bread-like. Besides that, it's a batter. So that's called in the halacha, t'chilosoy sufganin v'soyfo isa. It starts out looking like sufganin. Sufganin does not mean donuts. It means sufganin, whatever chazal meant by sufganin. It means something which is a batter-like. At the end, it looks like bread. It looks like a dough. Because it bakes like a dough at the end. It looks very similar to bread. Right? If I wouldn't know the difference, I'd say, you know, maybe it's a flavored bread. That's called t'chilosoy sufganin v'soyfo isa. Let's say I make it thin. I take the batter and I pour it over a frying pan. It spreads out and I bake my bread item like that. So lochas, it's still considered hamotzi, unless it's very thin. Very thin, usually the example is that they would do it inside of between shnei brazilim, between two layers. So that would make it spread out very much and be very thin. So you have the vafelin, you know, they sell these matamim, they sell in the machine, those very thin wafers. The Shavur comes out that those are mazernas forever. So you eat like 95 of them, you still only make an alamichya afterwards. And you'd be sick, but you know, it'd be bad for your cholesterol. But the maisa, you only make an alamichya afterwards. It's not bread. It's not considered bread-like. So it's very thin, to that topic, it's a very thin flaky, that's beyond the case of the Rabbeinu Hai. That's the Mishabur comes out, that's what he discusses in Simches. If it's not like that, something, let's say a blintz, so some blintzes would have that thin, and some blintzes wouldn't, depending on how thick you make your blintz. That's what it come out to. So a person has like a lot of blintzes, blintzes are not, you know, there's egg and there's also flour in it. But they're very, very thin, so an egg roll on the other hand, you know, it's a thicker type of a dough. So that would be a mazarnis, which your kaveh suda, you'd have to make a moitzi if you have too many of them. That's sifches. That's one sugya. The second sugya, I just want to finish. Second sugya is boiling something. So it's relevant to boil something in many ways. The sugya of you make something which is a dough-like consistency, and then you cook it by boiling. So that's all of your pasta. Pasta is a thick, it's a dough. It's not a batter, it's a dough. You roll it out, cut it into strips, you throw it into water, and you boil it. So what's the halakha in that situation? Or donuts. When Mishabura says that boiling, cooking, doesn't only apply to in water. You can boil it in oil. So I deep fry, donuts can be made either as yeast donuts. You know, it's a yeast-like, it's a dough type of a consistency. That's what they call donuts, right? But many donuts are made, like the ones you buy in most of these stores, they're not dough, they're batter. It's a batter type of an item. You make it with a batter, and then you boil it. So that type of an item, when you make it with batter, and you boiled it, what's its halacha? So that's Sifur Gimel. And that's the Sugya Daf Lamed Zayin, and that's the Tosis on Daf Lamed Zayin, which I gave you to Mara Malkum too, so you can look at that. So the Sugya, there's a Machlokes between the Rabbeinu Shimshon and the Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam's basic rule is, if you start out with something which is a dough to start with, so dough is chayv and chala. The Torah says the chiyuv of chala is chal when you make the dough. It's chayv, the world is up from the pasuk, b'shas gilgul, you're chayv. As soon as you make the dough, you're ready chayv and chala. And that's called lechem. Because the Torah says, well, chochem and lechem aretz. So the definition of lechem is chal when you make the dough. So the fact that you boil it afterwards, I don't care what you do it afterwards, it's dough. If it's dough to start with, it remains, the bracha is going to be hamoitzi and benching. Rabbeinu Shimshon says, no, that the definition of chala is totally in when you make it. The definition of Hasba B'Kissin is totally in when you bake it. I didn't bake it, I boiled it. So the bracha is mazornus, and remains mazornus forever. No matter how much you eat, you know. So if I eat donuts, right, a yeast donut, so according to Ben Tam, it's possible B'Kissin. So it starts out as a dough, it's pas. I add a lot of other flavors to it, it's possible B'Kissin. But so I have a lot of it, you know, I'd have to bench. According to Ben Shimshon, you know, donuts, as much as you want.
Are bagels like donuts?
Bagels are different. Bagels are different.
Doesn't Rabbeinu Tam agree when there's no tzuras apas?
Now, if there's no tzuras apas, why bagels are different? I don't have time to get involved why bagels are different. Bagels are different. And then, now, the Rabbeinu Tam agrees in the two scenarios. The Ramah says that a case where it doesn't have tzuras apas, so noodles, something which it doesn't have a tzuras apas, something like that, noodles, pasta, etc. That's mazonos no matter how much you eat. That's one place where he agrees. So if I have to tell you that a case where you boil it and then you bake it,
like
for example, like a bagel, but let's say a lakshon kugel. So you boil it and then you bake it. There is what to argue that it might be different. By bagels, for sure, that's different because the nature is you boil it and then you bake it, and therefore the bracha is hamoitzi. So, some then apply that now to back to your pasta. The same thing: if you boil it and then you bake it, the bracha is going to be hamoitzi. You know, it's pasta makistin, which you know. A big piece of your shalmi kugel, you know, or a few pieces of your shalmi kugel, you might have to, according to that. So that we'll assume that that's not true for argument's sake. It's not true. However, there is a kinach in the Rabbeinu Tam. So now, we have so the Shulchan Aruch comes out, because of this machloikas between the Rabbeinu Shimshon and the Rabbeinu Tam, Nikar P'sak like the Rabbeinu Shimshon. So boiling something at the end makes it a mezonos forever. But he says, that because of the Shiloh, Yerei Shemaim should only eat a Tefas Suda. Because Rabbeinu Tam, it's a moitzi. It's bread. So now, when I get to donuts, so according to the Shimshon, I have one donut. Every Greek, I have one donut. I make a mazonos. It's possible. At worst, it's possible to kiss it. I have five donuts. So according to the time, I have to bench. According to the Shimshon, I don't. So what should I do? Only techasuda. Right? I have to wash a regular bread. However, that's not true. If you look at the Rabbeinu Tam himself, his argument was, that's a clear, it's a Mishnah, it's a Sefer Skala, which says, if you make the dough, l'chachila, for the intention to boil it, and not cook it, and not bake it, then it's not chayv and chal. His whole argument, once it's chayv and chal, it's bread. But if the chachila, when you make it with intent to boil it at the end, so then it's only a mazonos. So even according to Tam, it's mazonis. It remains mazonis forever. So donuts, even according to Tam, pashas, no matter how much you eat, you do not bench. Deep fried donuts. Now, what about something which is just a little bit of you're baking it on a pan with a little bit of oil that shouldn't scorch? That's called baking in a loaf. What about it somewhere in the middle? That's a makhloikas. Right. So that's if you're gimel, and really it's a halacha lemaisa that has a lot of applications. It also has applications because we all pass, we all bread, which you cook, has the same halacha, like it has many, some of the ways it has halacha like dough, which you cook. Pass, by cooking it, loses its status of bread, and that's the halachas from Sif Tes, Sif Yud, Sif Yud Aleph, Sif Yud Beis. We're talking about what happens by bread, when you do it to bread. So in the case you do it to bread, so this isn't again to French toast, this is again to matzah bread, this is again to other things, and you use enough oil, not to deep fry it, but to give it flavor, not just that it shouldn't scorch, that make enough kamin and halacha, this is makhlokes in the Magen Avraham and the Taz. And so that's all under your umbrella of the sugya pasul b'kistin in the colloquial sense, not in the denotation of the Gemara, but the colloquial, these are all things which have to be clarified. So we've basically looked at Sif Vav, and Sif Zayin, and Sif Yud Zayin. We touched on Sif Ches, that's a case of a very thin item, which comes up again. The Pasha Bishloi, Isa Shabishloi is Sif Yud Gimel, and Sif Yud Dalet. And then we have Pasha Bishloi, you cook the bread, or maybe frying it, be the same thing. That's Sif Tes, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. So that is the Simen. You still have a little bit of Seder now, guys. Chapar on some of the Seder time, and you can, you know, work through the Sugya, the Toises on Lamed Zayin, brings the Sheet of the Rebbeinu Tam, and the Rosh and others bring the Sheet of the Rebbeinu Shimshon, and that's how it's, you know, that's that discussion in Aloha. Okay, everybody.